I trust you've had a good day, and it's certainly good to be able to come back again this evening to worship with the good brethren here at Twin Oaks. And we are grateful that we can live in a land and be blessed to be able to come together and sing and pray and study God's Word together this evening. As Carrie has already mentioned, we do have visitors, and we've had those each evening, and that is encouraging, I know, to the brethren here and also to myself, and we appreciate your presence this evening. Because the local congregation normally meets together on Wednesday evening, I wanted to bring a lesson this evening for those of us who are members of the church and how that we can be mature in the local congregation and how that we can be good members of the local congregation. I want us to consider this evening the topic of being connected to the body. The New Testament church is described as a body with a head. Christ is our head, and the congregation is a body. And I want us to be considering this evening the importance of being deeply connected to that body. Not being loosely attached, but deeply connected. And I want us to consider ourselves and consider yourself as a member here at Twin Oaks. What is your relationship to the other brethren? What is your connection to the other brethren? And we want to study from God's Word, and we want to encourage us to be more deeply connected maybe in the future than we have been in the past. And we hope that this material and this study will encourage all of us. I want to thank the Johnsons for their hospitality this evening. It was good to visit with them up in McKenzie, and I appreciate them and all of the good brethren who have fed me this week, and not just fed me physically, but to be fed spiritually. And to be encouraged by you, it means a lot. In the New Testament, we find that the local congregation is described as a body, the body of Christ. And sometimes in the universal sense, all Christians everywhere in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, there's one body. There's one body. But also in the local sense, the local congregation, as we're going to see in just a moment, when Paul was talking to some local congregations, he described them as a body. And we want to consider that concept this evening. Now, when you look at the figure or the symbol of a body, there can be a number of different lessons that can be drawn from that. For example, a body is a living organism. It's a living, breathing organism when we think about our physical bodies. And so when we think about the local congregation, when we think about the body of Christ, we can have a lesson on the spiritual life that it has. It's a living organism. Another way that you could approach that topic, for example, in Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that Christ is the head of the body, which is His church. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So you've got a head on a body. Well, a head gives direction. A head gives authority. And so we could approach it from that standpoint, that the direction that we get in life should come from the head. It should come from Jesus Christ. That's where we get our authority. But this evening, we want to look at a third lesson that we can gain, and we want to focus on that. And that is not the lesson of life or the lesson of direction, but the lesson of members being deeply connected to the body. Just like our hands and arms and legs and feet and head and torso, it's all connected together. And we have the different systems. We have the circulatory system, and we have the digestive system. And all of those parts of our body are deeply connected together. That's what we want to focus on this evening. When you look at the New Testament church, you find that members are to be deeply connected. Often that is not the case. And what I want us to consider this evening by way of illustration is this. We all have, well, I don't know if we all have shoes on tonight. Do we all have shoes on tonight? Maybe I should check first. Well, shoes or sandals or something. We have something on our feet, and so if we have a shoe on, for example, this evening, that is something that is attached to us, but it's not connected to us like our foot is. You can take a shoe off, and there's no loss to the body. You take a foot off, and there's loss to the body. You take your shoe off, and it doesn't hurt. You take your foot off, it does hurt. And so there's a difference. Both are in close proximity. One is attached, the other is connected. And so I want us to consider this evening this illustration. When we're a member of a local congregation, are we attached or are we connected? And you might say, well, that kind of sounds the same. Actually, it's not. the shoe is attached, and there is a close proximity there, but it can be taken off very quickly. The foot cannot. And so we need to be a member of the body. We need to be a foot, not a shoe. We don't need to be in close proximity to our brethren in the church. We need to be connected with them. And not like a shoe that can just be easily taken off, but a foot that is deeply connected. And so that's the illustration that I want you to think about as we go throughout our lesson this evening. And Paul will even mention some of these kinds of things when we get over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to focus this evening on three New Testament passages. If you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, we're going to begin there in just a moment. In Romans chapter 12, the Apostle Paul talks about the congregation as a body. The same in 1 Corinthians 12 and then in Ephesians chapter 4. Now, before we turn to look at these passages in detail, I want us to consider sometimes some practices and some problems that you sometimes hear about in the local congregation. And I hope that it would never be the case here at Twin Oaks, but it is the case other places. And maybe you have experienced some of this in the past somewhere where you've been. And where brethren really don't understand the concept of being a member of the local congregation. And so some immature, some ungodly practices and problems will often come up in the local congregation. Some have the idea that being a member of the local congregation is where all of the activity is done at the building. It's kind of like a monastery. Y'all go there, everybody goes there and shows up, and it's all done just at the building. Nothing is ever done outside the building. And so as long as I show up and do the things that are inside the four walls of the building, that I've accomplished my membership. Well, that's certainly not what the New Testament teaches. Being a member of the body, there's going to be things that are done and need to be done outside the building. Sometimes individuals have an attitude that I'm just going to do my limit. I'm going to do my bare minimum. If the elders ask me to do something or if I need to just absolutely sign up for something, just give me the bare minimum. I'm just going to keep to myself and be kind of independent, and I'll come to a building and then go back to my home and really not have much activity above and beyond that. If I have to do something, just give me the bare minimum. There might be some who just have a spirit of independence and maybe a spirit of superiority. We're going to see in just a moment when we get to 1 Corinthians 12 that one of the problems in Corinth was spiritual gifts. And some were exercising those gifts with an attitude of superiority. They were not exercising them with love. In particular, the tongue speakers thought that they were a little bit better than the others, and they didn't need the other members of the church. And so we don't have spiritual gifts like that today. Our problem today might just be selfishness, where we live a selfish life, and we know that we need to come for the Lord's Supper, and we know that we need to come down there on the first day of the week, but pretty much above and beyond that, I'm going to be independent, keep to myself, and not really be a deeply connected member. It may also be the case that we don't know the members. Now, in a smaller congregation such as this or where we're at in Springfield, we pretty much know everyone. But there's congregations, I've experienced this before, where we don't know the names of the members. We don't know where they live. We don't know what's going on in their life. We don't know the troubles and the trials and the problems that they're having. We don't do anything for the members. We might say hello to them at the building, but there are things that they need outside the service, and we just don't do that. We've got our lives, we've got our schedules, we've got our hobbies, we've got our things that we need to be doing, and I don't have time for brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And then it gets even worse, where because we're not deeply connected one with another, and we don't have a spiritual investment with each other, it's very easy to say and do things that cause division. Very easy to say and do things that offend others and hurt others. And we get into divisions and quarreling within the local church. And we don't view ourselves as deeply connected one to another. And it's just very easy maybe to step on someone and use them and abuse them and then go off to another congregation and later down the road do the same thing there. There's a lot of personality clashes when we don't understand what it means to be a member connected one with another. It's more of come to the building and almost looking for a fight. Come to the building and almost looking for trouble. It's not a loving atmosphere. It's not a family atmosphere. It's not a body atmosphere. And so maybe we've experienced these things before, and I believe one of the root problems is we don't understand what it means to be a true member of a local congregation. To place membership. We use that expression. We say those kinds of things. We go through that. We want to place membership somewhere. But what does that mean to be a member of a body? And is it something of a loose attachment or is it a deep connection? And so this evening we want to consider that kind of thing. Others, with this idea of being loosely connected, when it comes time for the elders or in the absence of elders, maybe a men's meeting where there needs to be some church discipline done, often it's very ineffective because there are no ties that have been between the members. Somebody says, well, we're going to mark brother so-and-so or mark sister so-and-so, and there wasn't a connection with them anyway. No one ever saw them. No one ever really talked with them. No one ever went to visit them and see what the problem was. But we haven't seen them in 3 months, and so we're ready to send a letter of withdrawal. And it's just not that effective because we weren't close to them to start with. And when we go to visit them and we try to get them to come back and that type of thing, if we'd never really done that before, then our admonitions sort of ring hollow because we're just not closely connected with them. And so we have to be careful about that kind of thing. Sometimes there are no emotional or physical ties to the brethren. I've seen this as the case sometimes in a local congregation where brethren want to get together to do something, not just of a social nature outside the building, but maybe even get together and do something of a personal work or pass out tracts or gospel meeting notices. And you'll find that brethren don't want to show up and do things together, but they always go out with their friends in the world, you know, to the ball game. They always go with their friends out in the world to the restaurant and shopping and things like that, but they'll rarely do something with the brethren. So we have to understand that there needs to be a close connection to one another in the body. That's what the New Testament teaches, and I hope this evening will be a reminder for that. We're going to begin with Romans chapter 12. We're going to look at this passage of Scripture in just a moment, in particular verses 3 through 8. But before we read this passage, I wanted to remind us of something. Have you ever read the expression in the New Testament, the one another passages? Do you know that there are a number of one another passages? Somebody says, where does the New Testament teach placing membership? Well, first of all, by example, in Acts chapter 9, where Saul wanted to join himself to the disciples and go in and out among them. There's an example of somebody wanting to join himself with the brethren. But there's also the idea of membership taught through inference. In other words, how can we fulfill the one another passages unless we are with one another? There are at least 18 one another passages. And we cannot fulfill the one another passages unless we are identified with a group to say, I am one with another. For example, we are to love one another, Romans 13, 8. We are to be tenderly affectioned. I'm just going to list these quickly for you. Tenderly affectioned one to another, Romans 12, 10. We are to be of the same mind one toward another, Romans 12, 16. We are to exhort one another, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11. We are to comfort one another, 1 Thessalonians 4:18. We are to receive one another, Romans 15, verse 7. Now, as I mention each one of these, ask yourself, am I doing this? Have I done this? Will I do this? Am I so connected that when someone needs exhortation, I'm going to exhort one another, 1 Thessalonians 5:11? Or is that just, well, that's something the elders do. That's something Carrie does. That's something that only certain people do. No, as a member, that's my responsibility. And it would be good, sometimes I mention this at home, make a list, and you're welcome to my list, and post it on the refrigerator. Put it on your mirror in the bathroom. Someone asked me recently, I preached on a passage in Colossians 3, and there were several things listed there, and he came up afterwards and said, can I have that list? I want to post that at home. That's a good idea, brethren, to remind ourselves, am I doing these things? These are not optional, they're not suggestions. As a member, as a faithful Christian of Twin Oaks, I have to fulfill these one another passages. I'm to admonish one another, Romans 15, verse 14. I'm to greet one another, Romans 16, verse 16. I'm to wait or tarry one for another with regard to the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 11:33. I am to have the same care one for another, 1 Corinthians 12:25. I am to serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Another thought before we continue. Sometimes, I remember when I was a younger Christian, I was thinking, you know, this is stuff that mom and dad does. This is what my grandparents do. Young Christians here this evening, we need to be doing these things as well. So I can make a list of these things. I can ask mom and dad, can I go with you to do such and such? Or when we get a little bit older and we're driving, I can go out and do this on my own. There's some brethren I need to do something for or with. And even as a young Christian, I can be doing these things. So serve one another, Galatians 5:13. Bear one another's burdens, Galatians 6:2. And what? So fulfill the law of Christ. It's not an option. It's a part of following Christ's law. Bear one another's burdens. I am to forbear with one another. That means be patient. Ephesians 4, verse 2. Be kind one toward another. Ephesians 4:32. Be subject one toward another. Ephesians 5:21. Confess our sins one to another. James 5:16. Be hospitable one toward another. 1 Peter 4:9, and then last of all, we are to consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Hebrews 10:24, and the word consider there doesn't mean Carrie and I might be out talking, and he said, well, I need you to think about such and such, and I'll say, well, I'll consider that. I'd like for you to buy some insurance. Well, I'll consider that. It doesn't mean consider in the sense of think about it. Consider here means to have our mind set on what is the best for them and stir up to love and good works. That's 18 one another passages. That makes a sermon in itself. It makes a series in itself. So as members of the church, we have one another obligations, and it's a part of being a deeply connected member of the body. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 12 and we'll read verses 3 through 8. First of all, this evening, in looking at Romans chapter 12, we're going to make 3 points this evening with regard to being deeply connected. Number one, we need to be deeply connected with humility. Okay? And then number two, when we get over to 1 Corinthians 12, we need to be deeply connected with dependability. And number three, when we get over to Ephesians 4, we need to be deeply connected with maturity. So let's look at it in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 3. How can I be deeply connected as a member here at Twin Oaks? It's going to be by me being humble. I am humble. Whatever my work is in this congregation, whatever my role is, whatever my work is, I'm going to approach that with humility and I'm going to work with others. I'm not going to have pride or arrogance or think that I am somehow above someone else. Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace that was given me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but so as to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. That phrase, a measure of faith, is used later in verse 6, the proportion of our faith. It's used in the context of verse 6, the gift that God gives us. And the ability to use that, that's that expression, the proportion of our faith. What does God give us as a gift or as a role or as a responsibility? And I need to approach that with humility. Verse 4, for even as we have many members in one body, talking about our physical body, and all the members have not the same office. The hand doesn't do the same job as the ear and the eye and so forth. They have, my version, the older English, office. Some versions have function right there. They don't all have the same function. And as a member here at Twin Oaks, we have different functions, different gifts that we can bring to the table, as it were. So they do not all have the same function. Verse 5, so we who are many, now he makes the illustration to the congregation. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given us. The expression measure of faith is similar to the expression, the grace that was given us. It is what does God give us? What talent did God give me? What gift did God give me? Now, some in the first century had spiritual gifts, but I believe in this context, it is just what we might call a natural gift or talent. Because when you start reading the things that are mentioned in verses 7 and 8, some of them do not involve spiritual gifts. Just for example, giving. That's not a spiritual gift. That's something that we all can do. So these are most likely natural gifts or talents that we have. And so, in verse 6, and having gifts differing according to the grace that was given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. That, of course, was a spiritual gift. According to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, that is just simply serving. Let us give ourselves to our ministry, or he that teacheth to his teaching, or he that exhorteth. You see, exhorteth, that's not a spiritual gift. That wasn't a miraculous gift. It's just the talent to exhort people. And some are really good at that. To his exhorting, and he that giveth, let him do it with liberality. And he that ruleth, might be a reference to the eldership here, with diligence, and he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Look at that mercy. That's not a spiritual gift. We can all have mercy, you see. So the first thing that I want us to consider this evening is that Paul says to approach that with humility. Look at verse 3. We are not to think more highly than we ought to. We need to be humble. We need to examine ourselves, verse 3. And this keeps us from feeling more important than others. There are different roles here at Twin Oaks. Different roles and different responsibilities. But one person should not say, I am more important than another member down the row, man or woman. And I need to constantly examine myself with regard to that. Number 2, I need to understand that there is a diverse group of brethren here with different gifts and talents. And this keeps us from feeling unnecessary. Well, they don't need me at Twin Oaks. Everyone is needed. Everyone is important. Everyone has a talent. Everyone can do something that is important for this congregation. Well, I can't preach, so I'm just not going to do anything. I can't be an elder, so I'm not going to do anything. I can't be a Bible class teacher, so I'm not going to do anything. Brethren, men and women, Christians, young and old, have talents. And we can all and should all be doing what God gives us. And then last of all, in verses 6 through 8, we need to utilize ourselves. And the point that Paul is making here is, and this is not an exhaustive list. He's simply illustrating some things that God gives people. Don't read the list in verses 7 and 8 and say, well, my gift is not in that list. He's illustrating things that brethren can do, and some brethren could do these things in the first century, prophecy and other things. But the key lesson is verse 3, 4, and 5. And that is, we need to be humble, number one. We're not more important than the other members. We need to be understanding that there are going to be different gifts. Everybody is important. Everybody is necessary. And then last of all, look at what he says. Whatever God gives you, you need to be giving yourself to that. If it's teaching, give yourself to that teaching. In verse 7, the translators have added in italics, give ourselves. That's filling out the thought of that. In other words, verse 6, the grace that was given us, whether prophecy, according to the proportion of our faith, or ministry, to our ministry. When Paul says ministry and then to our ministry, the filling out of the thought is, you give yourself to that. If God gives you ministry, then you give yourself to that gift. You stay busy. You pour your all into it. You put your all into it. Now, is it true that brethren have physical limitations? As we get older, we have physical limitations. Where we live might limit what we can do. How old we are might limit what we can do. Some limits are just strictly authority related. Whether or not I can preach publicly or not. The male headship or leadership versus the female. Some is just purely authority. But some also is practical in nature. So I might have physical limitations. I might have health limitations. But the bottom line is I have a talent and a gift and I need to be busy using that. And our young Christians need to be busy using the gifts that God gives them. So first of all, this evening, humility helps us to be deeply connected to the body. We need to examine ourselves, brethren, and when we don't have humility, then we will not be deeply connected and we'll have those practices and those problems going on at Twin Oaks and Memorial Boulevard and other places when we don't follow these biblical admonitions. So examine ourselves. We are not to think more highly than we ought to think. Let us think soberly. Let us think about the talent that God has given us, and let us be busy using that. Now, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's read this text of Scripture. The second point that we want to make this evening is that to be deeply connected, that is, we want to be a foot. We don't just want to be a shoe. We want to be a foot. It's going to take humility. Number two, it's going to take an attitude of dependability. And I'm using the word dependability this evening, not so much that you can count on me, but we depend on one another in the sense of connection. The members of the body depend upon one another and use one another and work well together. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12. Let's start reading now in verse 12. There's an emphasis in Romans 12 on humility. There's an emphasis in 1 Corinthians 12 on dependability. Verse 12, "For as the body is one and hath many members," the physical body, "and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. You, brethren at Corinth, are just like your physical body, one body made up of many members. For in one spirit were we all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether bond or free, and we're all made to drink of one spirit." Look at verse 13. When we're baptized into Christ, it doesn't end there. Some have the concept, well, I finally obeyed the gospel. I finally went through those steps of conversion and I was baptized. And then sometimes you hardly ever see them at the building. They may or may not come. They think that that's the end of the road. That's the beginning. And so baptism is the beginning. And then what follows? You are a closely connected member. Verse 14, "For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body,' it is not therefore not of the body." Let's begin to look at three points that the Apostle Paul is going to make. Look at verses 12 through 20. The first point that Paul's going to make is that you need to have a sense of mutual obligation one toward another. You are unique. Every member here at Twin Oaks is unique. Every member here is important. Just like the hand and the eye and the ear, they're all unique. They have different functions, but they all work together. I need to be sitting here this evening thinking, you know, I bring something to the table at Twin Oaks. Regardless of my age, regardless of where I live, I'm bringing something, and I'm going to be active in that regard. I am obligated to do that. We're going to work together, and there's going to be this close connection. So, verse 14, 15, "The foot shall say, 'Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body.'" No. Just because you are not something else in the local church doesn't mean that you're not a member of the body. "Well, I'm not an elder." Well, you're still a connected member, and so forth. "I'm not the preacher. I'm not this. I'm not that." Verse 16, "And if the ear shall say, 'Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body,' it is not therefore not of the body." I'm reading from the American Standard this evening. We would call that a double negative. That's Paul's way of saying, "It is not therefore not of the body." That's Paul's way of saying, "It is a part of the body." We would call that a double negative today. Verse 17, "If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were the hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, each one of them, in the body, even as it pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" You don't just see a big eye walking around. You just see a big hand walking around. A body is made up of a multitude of members that are connected together, and each one is unique, each one is important. So, verse 20, the conclusion. "Now, they are many members, but one body." So the first lesson that he teaches is that we depend one on another. Each one is unique. Each one is important. And I found this to be the case. I would like to think that when I go see people and visit and teach and try to encourage, that I have some good things to say. But I'm telling you, and I think Carrie would agree with me, sometimes a woman can show up and say much better things than I can and get the job done much better. I've had that happen before. Some of the godly ladies in the church will say things that help people more than I can say. And people say and do things that I can't say and do. And they can do it in ways that I'm not that effective. We have a member of the church that passes out over 40 bulletins every week. We have a bulletin. He gets extra copies. this brother is amazing, and he's not in sales. He's just a friendly person. He gets all kinds of studies set up. He gets all kinds of people to come to services. He's much more successful than I am in trying to sit down and have a discussion, especially, and what I mean by that is just sort of a cold contact. He can make it. I can't do it. He knows what to say, and he makes it happen, and I'm not that successful in doing that. So he gets them all set up, and I come help him teach it. You see, people have different talents. And they might be doing exactly the same thing, trying to do the same thing, and one person can say it a little bit differently and get the job done. So we all need to be saying and doing and working in the local congregation because we are unique and we are important and we can help one another. We've got to be deeply connected. It's not just, I come down to the building, I go home. I come down to the building, I go home. I come and so forth. That's not what being a member of the body is. The second lesson that the Apostle Paul teaches here in this chapter is mutual dependence. And here's the idea of what I mean by dependability. It's we depend upon one another. We accept each other's place. And we don't put it down. We don't say, well, that's not important. I don't need you. And the background to this in 1 Corinthians 12, it goes back to verses 4 through 11, these spiritual gifts. Apparently, and especially the tongue speakers, because Paul brings this out in chapter 13. If I speak with the tongue of men and angels, apparently among the tongue speakers, because that's sort of it's an exciting gift. It could have been sort of like a flamboyant gift to be able to stand up and just all of a sudden speak in another language. That would be very exciting. It would draw attention. Well, those people started maybe thinking that they were just a little bit better than the other guy. And they were not exercising love. And that's what Paul means by, let me show you a more excellent way. And so now we begin to see some of this coming out. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Just plug it in this way. The tongue speaker cannot say to the faith healer, I don't have any need for you. Back up to verse 8, 9, 10, 11. The spiritual gifts listed: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues. So just plug that in verse 21. The tongue speaker cannot say to the man who interpreted the tongues, I have no need for you. You see that? You can't be doing that in the local church. Each one is dependent upon the other. God put all of this together where all of it is to work together. Okay? Or again, the head cannot say to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. So here's your dependence. We depend upon one another. Each one of you here this evening as a member of this congregation is necessary, young or old, man or woman. We're all necessary. And those parts of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, whereas our comely parts have no need. But God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism or division in the body. Now we begin this last point. Look at verses 25 through 27. There should be mutual feeling one toward another. We share our emotions, our concerns. If there is suffering, we suffer with one another. And so it's not just a matter of I come down here to the building and then I go back home. I come to the building, I go back home. But if somebody's suffering, I know that. And I'm going to say or do something to help that. That is a deeply connected member. So, verse 25, that there should be no division in the body. And that's what I was talking about earlier. Often there is in the local church. There's division. And it's often over petty, immature things. Sometimes it's over a doctrinal matter where somebody is standing for truth and others are trying to introduce error or false doctrine. Sometimes it is that case. John says in 1 John chapter 2 that they went out from us because they were not of us. That has to do with doctrinal things, because John goes on to talk about they were teaching the Antichrist. They were not confessing that Jesus had come in the flesh. It was a doctrinal matter. And these people went out from us. Sometimes divisions are that way. But often, and as I've seen recently, it's more along the lines of the petty personality clashes and judgments and opinions and hurt feelings, and someone looked at me wrong or said something wrong, that type of thing. And rather than forbearing one another, Ephesians 4:2, where we're patient and long-suffering, it's just, boom, we're out the door, go to church across town. There's a time and place. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:19 and following that divisions must come to prove or to demonstrate who is approved or not. Division shows who is standing for truth or not. And there's a time and place for that. But often, verse 25, there's division in the body that is completely unnecessary and unwarranted. Because we're not deeply connected one toward another. And we're not working to stay a unified member of the body. So, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffereth, all the members suffer with it. And whether one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members thereof. So number one, if we will have a healthy sense of humility each time that we come in, we can work closely together. Number two, if we have a healthy sense of dependence upon each other. Dependence. Then we will be closely connected. And then third and finally, before we close, turn with me to Ephesians 4. We have to have a healthy sense of maturity. We have to grow up, brethren, and we have to be mature in the faith, mature in our knowledge of God's Word, and mature in the application of God's Word. And when we do that, we will be closely bound together. So let's read now in Ephesians chapter 4. You're familiar, I'm sure, with this passage, especially beginning in verse 8. That God, through Jesus, wanted to give gifts to the church. These gifts are men, the roles of these men, and they are listed in verse 11. Christ wanted to give His church, before ascending on high, apostles and prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. It's interesting that all of these men relate to the giving of God's Word. You look at verse 11, the apostles and prophets primarily revealed the Word of God in the first century. The evangelists preached the Word of God in the first century. And then look at the pastors and teachers. They defended and upheld and protected the Word of God. But Christ wanted His church to have these men. For what reason? Look at verse 12. These men are given, and you're to be commended and blessed for having elders in the congregation and an evangelist. These men, what are they for? Verse 12. For the perfecting, that is the completing, the maturing, the completing of the saints. These men help us. They help us to be mature. That's why I listen in the Bible class and I listen in the sermon and I listen through private counseling. They're trying to perfect me. Not sinless perfection where I don't commit a sin. It's the word maturity, completeness. They make me grow up. And that's what Christ wants. But then look at it in verse 12. Unto the work, we've got to be busy working in the local church. The work of ministering unto the building up of the body of Christ. Till we all attain unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man. I want you to circle in your Bible the words that have to do with maturity. The first one is perfecting, verse 12. The second one is full-grown, verse 13. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we may no longer be children. We don't want to be children. What's the opposite? Mature, you see. No longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and craftiness after the wiles of error, but speaking truth in love may grow up. There's another one. Perfecting. Fullness. No longer children. Grow up. You get the point? Christ wants us in the local church to be mature. In some cases in the local church, brethren are no more mature 20 years after being baptized than they were the day they were baptized. We're not growing, brethren. And it's the same brethren causing the problems. The same brethren questioning. The same brethren stirring up something over and over and over again. When we first moved to Springfield in the mid-90s and then toward the late 90s, we wanted to appoint elders. Two men that opposed it and were acting very immaturely and carnally. These were older men. These were men in their 60s and 70s that had been baptized many, many years ago. They're still causing the same old problems. We've got to grow up, brethren. We've got to grow up. And some won't. And so they just continue to cause those local church problems. And so the last point we want to make this evening is that we're going to be deeply connected when we come in each time with a healthy sense of maturity. First of all, in verse 12, the leadership that is in the local congregation, that is designed to build up the body. We need to be built up. We need to be full grown, perfected. We don't need to be immature in Christ. Now, when a person is baptized into Christ, he's a new creature in Christ, and there's some development there. And we even have classes, or should, and studies for new Christians and new converts, right? But in time, we need to be maturing and growing. Secondly, there is a knowledge that God gives us through His Word. It's called the truth, verse 15. It's called knowledge, verse 13. It's, of course, the Scriptures. And why are they given? That's designed for us to grow up. Do you know what amazes me is we will have Bible classes every week on all kinds of Old Testament, New Testament, go through all these Bible classes. And for some brethren, it does them no good. They're not learning. They're not growing up. They're not learning how to actually carry something out in the local congregation. It's just theory. It's just something you study. Each time there's a sermon, each time there's a Bible study, I'm supposed to be learning something so that I can grow up. I can go home and put that into practice and grow up. And then, let's continue reading verse 14, that we might not be no longer children. We need to be mature. We're not going to be tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine and so forth. Verse 15, but speaking truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, even Christ. Now look at it. Here's the body passage. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, verse 16, from whom all the body fitly framed and knit together. See, we're not a shoe. A shoe has close proximity, but a foot, that's, the American Standard says, knit together. Knit. Just think about that knitting, going home and knitting a garment. It's all intertwined there, and it makes a garment. It's all sewed together and twisted together and knit together. Is that our connection to Twin Oaks? That's what it needs to be, and that's what we want to encourage this evening. Through that which every joint supplieth. Yes, the elders do things, and the preacher, and the deacons, and others. But myself, I am a part of the body. I am going to supply something. I'm going to supply something according to the working in due measure of each individual part. But it starts with me being mature. And when I'm mature, then I come down to verse 16, I am ready to give my part each and every time. And so, participation. When the leadership helps me mature, and God's Word helps me to mature, then we come down to verse 16, and I am going to bring something that will increase this body. And Twin Oaks will increase. It'll increase numerically, and it will increase spiritually. Deeply connected to the body. Humility. Romans 12, humility. I'm not better than anybody else. Man or woman, young or old, I have been given a gift and a talent. And I'm not better than anybody else, and we're all going to work together. 1 Corinthians 12, we depend upon each other. We depend upon what each one can bring to the body. What each member can bring to the body. And I'm going to be mature. I'm not going to be a child. And that's how we have leadership in the future. And I see some young men here this evening. How do they become the gospel preachers of tomorrow and the elders and the deacons? Because I'm going to grow up and mature. And I'm going to apply God's Word. And the church will exist here at Twin Oaks years down the road because the young Christians are developing themselves. But when a Christian just comes to a building and then goes home, they are usually the ones that 30, 40 years later, they're still the children. They never learned how to be deeply connected through humility, dependability, and maturity. So I ask at the close of the lesson, are you a shoe or a foot here at Twin Oaks? Are you a shoe? A shoe is close, but it's not attached. A foot is. We need to be the foot. To use the illustration of Paul there in 1 Corinthians 12, he talked about the foot. You know, the local church, it's not a place to go. We talk about going to church. It's a place to be. It's a place to be, not a place to go. We are a body. And let us be closely connected. These things have been on my mind recently, brethren, and I wanted to talk with you, brethren, personally and intimately on a Wednesday night where it is mostly just the local brethren, because we have experienced, unfortunately to say, experienced some division recently in Springfield. And it's over brethren not understanding the concept of being deeply committed. You know what I'm finding today? We live in a very mobile society. You can get in your car and drive anywhere. You just drive anywhere you want, anytime you want. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because one thing that we're experiencing is that because it's so mobile and it's so easy to go somewhere else, that we don't work at it anymore to stay together. You don't have to work at it. You just get in your car and go somewhere else. And so what we're finding, whether we consciously are thinking it or not, what we're finding is that rather than working through the Bible verses that talk about forgiveness and staying together and working things out, we know in the back of our mind, all I got to do is get in a car and go down the road 5 miles, 10 miles. I can go somewhere to take the Lord's Supper. That's no big deal. But we're not following the verses. We're not following the verses. And so I think it's becoming detrimental. Years ago, you know, there might be one congregation in a town. You got to go way back for that. That's where you went. And you know what? When you had a problem with brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so, you worked it out. You worked it out. And you matured. And you dealt scripturally with that. And you just kept working with them. But today, we just get in our car and go somewhere else. And I don't know if it's the case here, but we have it in the case in Springfield where there are a multitude of brethren driving right past the building, our building, to go to another building. Why? Personality clashes. We're all teaching the exact same doctrine. It is not a doctrinal difference. We're all on the same page doctrine. It's just preaching styles. I don't like that preaching style. Or I had a personality clash with a sister over there, or the brother at that congregation said this to me. And so we're not deeply connected anymore. What it is, we're the shoe, we're not the foot. And at any time, we can just go put our shoe on somebody else's foot. And we just have missed the concept of what the Scripture teaches. So I hope that this has encouraged us to understand what the Scripture teaches. And with the attitude of that deep connection here at Twin Oaks, you will continue to exist and grow and be the church that God wants you to be. Others may do what they want to do, but you'll be following that divine pattern, and God will be pleased and blessed, and you'll grow. You'll grow, and that's the promise that God has given us. There may be someone here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel. You have not yet named the name of Christ, and you need to come repenting of your sins and being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. And when you do that, what does Paul say in 1 Corinthians 12:12? That you're baptized into that one body, and from this night forward, you can be that connected member, and you can bring your talent to this congregation. Or as an erring child of God, you can come back. Or if you know of someone who needs to come back, when they come back, they can come back and be that committed, dedicated, connected member. That's what we want. We don't want this loose, quasi connection or somewhat close association. We want to be the foot and not the shoe. And if we can assist you in doing that this evening, why won't you come as we stand and sing?